The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is number 37. I think it's 37 for the second time. I think I said that last week, too. So
you did.
This time, it really is 37. I'm just testing Eric and his math skills.
Yeah, this is the better 37. I caught it, too. I'm more on top of things. Now that we're moved over to the new network.
That's true. That's true. We are. We're on a brand new, well,
it's hardly really brand new.
It's a brand new old network. Brand new for this show. Yeah, that's right. Random chat.
A no longer stale network.
Well, it wasn't stale. It was kept alive by three fantastic shows.
Yes.
That we had nothing to do with.
Exactly.
That's why they were fantastic, I think.
Yeah. By the way, we should probably give them a plug here, too, because I know we've got some listeners following over. I know we've said it before, but Jay and Josh, excellent work on their various comic book related, TV related podcasts. So just wanted to give them a shout out.
Yeah, and we'll definitely cover them at the end of this episode as well, too. But yeah, they've done a great job keeping the home fires burning for us here while we were away for a couple of years. But now we're back, and this show is back with us on the Random Chatter Network. Thank you, everybody, for coming over to joining us here.
Yes.
From our last home.
I got to say, it feels good.
It does.
It feels really good.
It does feel good to be back here. I mean, this is where I started podcasting.
Yeah.
Not on this show per se, but on this network. You invited me on when you were doing Lost Chatter, and I filled in, and I don't know if I blackmailed you to keep me around or not, but here I am.
The only person crazy enough to stay around, I think.
Oh, maybe that's part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So we should probably get right into the episode, I guess.
Sure.
Exciting stuff this week after the Oscars. We actually don't have any Oscar news in here. I was just thinking about that.
Well, we can talk about that on Random Chatter.
We certainly can. We have another home for that, too. Yeah. We can do that. So let's get right into some meaty details here of some new stuff coming out that we think may be good and some stuff that we think might not be good. But first off, the fallout from Deadpool is causing some shifting of films over at Fox.
No. Okay, listen. Fallout sound, other than the video game series, is a very negative term.
I didn't mean it negative.
Okay, you better not have.
I didn't. I like Deadpool. I'm just saying the fallout after that movie, or the aftermath. Is that better? Aftermath?
The benefits. What's a positive consequence?
Well, see, I'm not so sure these are benefits, though. I mean, as much as I like Deadpool, the changes that everybody's doing now because of Deadpool, like I think I've said before, I don't mean to get in my soapbox again, but I don't think we need to do all this stuff sometimes, but I don't know.
True, but this could actually be related to more Deadpool.
It could be. Yeah, I think that's going to be part of this because we're going to see Deadpool hopefully in more movies making cameo or small appearances, maybe large appearances. So
I don't know.
What do we have changing here now? We have Gambit is not listed at all as a movie.
Yes. Yeah, that was
kind of strange. That was
a big deal.
Yeah, that was one of their movies coming out. In fact, that was for October of 17.
Right. And Channing Tatum was attached. I mean, he's a big name actor. It was kind of a big deal. That was one they were promoting pretty heavily.
Now, if they're not putting that there and putting something else in place, that kind of worries me that you know, it's a year and a half away and we're putting another movie in that place. I mean, hopefully it's something they've been working on for a while. We're not just going to throw something together after, you know, Deadpool. Hey, let's do this instead and create a new movie. And it seems awful tight. Hopefully this is something else that's shifting into that slot.
Yeah, here's my opinion on this. If they're moving Gambit out of there, it means one of two things. Either they have less confidence than they originally did in Gambit, I'm sorry, I said Deadpool, didn't I? if they're moving Gambit out of that position, they have less confidence than they initially did in the Gambit film, which I don't think is probably the case, because they're still early enough on that if they didn't have a lot of confidence in it, they could always change things. Or instead, they decided they have something more powerful that they want to move into that position instead. I'm guessing it's probably a Deadpool sequel, and I say that because October 2017 is kind of close, but it's still far enough away that they could make another Deadpool film. They've already got a treatment ready, if not a full script.
Mm.
They did the first one with a low budget, and it didn't take very long to film.
It took them 8 years.
Not to film. Not to film.
True.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
yeah, you're right. If they do have a treatment for that and they have a script, you know, partially finished or even, you know, mostly finished, they could get a movie out by 2017. And it probably wouldn't be rushing it, I guess. My worry is that they're putting a Deadpool treatment on something else and trying to force that into the slot.
What do you mean?
You know, like taking some other property and rewriting it to be more like Deadpool, to be rated R, to be, you know, more of that same kind of a movie.
Oh, but, you're talking about like they're going to do a I'll just make something up here, like an Iceman movie, and they're trying to make it more like Deadpool, and they're going to squeeze it into that slot.
Right.
Like they're
right.
Taking a different character.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying of doing a Deadpool sequel makes more sense. You know, strike while iron's hot, get it out there quickly.
Right.
They can do it because everybody that was in place for the last one is probably still around and able to be put in place for this one.
Well, see, if they were going to do that with another character, they would probably stick with the Gambit thing. They've already got it cast. They've already got the word, you know, the buzz is out there about it. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that they would move Gambit out, put a different character in. And keep in mind, this is Fox. So they have a limited selection of characters they can choose from. Now, it's a pretty big selection in the sense that they have basically all of the mutants and anybody tied to the X-Men franchise, and that includes a lot of characters.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But still, it's not like they can go and do the Punisher. They can't go and do Iron Man. They, you know, they are somewhat limited. They have to pull someone from their available roster.
Mm-hmm.
So Gambit is just as good a choice as any other, and if it were them trying to jump on the whole R-rated comic book hero bandwagon, Gambit is one that, while I don't think it would be a great fit, it's one that could fit, you know, the ladies' man, the seedy underground rogue thief sort of character.
Right.
So you could still do that. I don't think they would get rid of Gambit for that. I think they would change Gambit into that if they were going the route you were talking about.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Now, they've also got a slot for January 12, 2018. And that's also an untitled Marvel film. And some people have been thinking, okay, a Deadpool sequel and X-Force. But X-Force is going to also contain Deadpool, apparently.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to...
That's what I've heard as well, yep.
Not that close together. They're not going to... That's, what, 4 months?
Yeah. That would be kind of tight. Although, yeah. I mean, with as fast as movies coming in and out of the theaters these days, if Deadpool 2 hit in 17, and then 4 months later they run X-Force with Deadpool in it, that'd be a huge boon for X-Force.
I don't know. I think 4 months later is too soon for that. I you're right, but I think...
Well, I mean, within 4 months, you can, the first movie will be on DVD already.
Well, you know, yeah, look at The Force Awakens.
It's out of the theaters. It's done within probably a month. I mean, what is the lifespan of most movies in the theaters these days? 3 weeks?
4 weeks? Yeah, I mean, you know, solidly 4 weeks. The fourth week is always like the death throes. But, yeah.
So you run a movie mid-October. It runs out Thanksgiving. And... if it had a big reception, they did really well, fans would be clamoring. I mean, let's just say if they put out a X-Force movie in July, would you go see it?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Right? I mean,
I would go see it any time. Yeah. I mean, if they put one out in July and then they put another one out like 2 weeks later in July, I would go see it. I mean,
well, yeah.
But I'm not the mainstream.
Right, right. But I mean, you know, the Deadpool fans now, I mean, you've got a movie that just came out. It's in its, what, fourth week?
Yeah.
Still doing well, but it's probably be out of theaters in another week or so.
Sadly.
Yeah. And now we get a movie based on the same character coming out in June or July.
Yeah.
That would still be bringing in fans that remembered that movie and said, hey, that did really well. Or now you're going to say, hey, you know, to your girlfriend, hey, you saw that Deadpool movie with me. You liked it. He's in another movie coming out in June. Do you want to go see that too? And yeah, sure I will. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it presents the possibility of oversaturation too. Because then the girlfriend's like, oh, we just saw Deadpool. I don't want to go see another movie with Deadpool. You've got...
And then you find a new girlfriend.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good litmus test to see whether the relationship's actually going to survive, to be sustainable. I see what you're saying. I don't know. I think that even if it's not too soon, I think Hollywood would believe it would be too soon. I think that they would want to fully ride out the cash cow of the first before they bring the next one back. I think if they bring in a yet another movie with Deadpool in it, they would want it to feel a little fresher than that. They would want to build up the anticipation a little bit more.
Possibly.
So that's the other thing. It's like if you're waiting 8 years to see Deadpool, that's a big deal. If you just walked out of a Deadpool movie, you know, for your third or fourth viewing that's been out for a month, yeah, you're going to go see the other one that's coming out next week too, but it's not like the level of anticipation is going to be the same.
Yeah, no, I can see it. They wouldn't have the time to market the movie effectively and that kind of stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, the hype machine would be a little harder to build up, I think. Yeah, that's a really good point, though, about like how quickly it hits DVD and everything and how long it's in theaters and stuff like that. The Force Awakens boggles my mind that, you know, it came out in December.
Right.
It's just announced it's coming out April 1st on digital. And so
yeah, March 15th, I thought it was, isn't it, in another week or so?
No, it was just announced today. It's going to be April 1st.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but that's like 3.5 months.
Hmm.
And I have to wonder how many people would have seen it again in the theater, but thought, well, wait a minute, I can just like wait a couple of weeks and see it at home on Blu-ray. Right now, I might have an opportunity to go see it again right now, but I don't know that I will because, hey, I'm going to have it in the comfort of my own home here pretty soon, and I can pause it and rewind it and all of that. I don't want to like burn out on it before I get the home theater version. So,
right,
I know for myself, it's like it's stealing a theater ticket away from me. So, I wonder how much it's going to affect the box office take.
Well, yeah, I mean, box office takes in general are up, but movie
True.
Tickets are more expensive.
Yeah.
It's getting wider releases with some more screens that first week or so. But you know, I mean, you know, long gone are the days of movies coming out and lasting in the theaters for, you know, 2-3 months.
Well, yeah, yeah.
There's just so many more movies out there now, and they come out on DVD and they're on television so quickly that the whole aspect of that has changed. And you're right. If I don't see it in the first couple of weeks, you know, the first 2 weeks, I don't go to see a movie. I don't, you know, very rarely do I see a movie in the third or fourth week, unless it was just happened to be a perfect storm where I was busy and couldn't get to it. And at that point, I'm like, well, nah, I missed it.
But I'll with Star Wars, if you knew this wasn't going to hit DVD for, let's say they said, okay, we're not going to release the DVDs until all three of the trilogy films are out. Would you see it more in the theater right now? If you knew it wasn't,
if I had to wait another 2-3 years or 4 years, I'd see it again.
So I think that now, obviously, that's an extreme example, but you know, if it were going to be that we're not going to get to see this for another 12 months or something, or even 8 months, I think that there are people who would go see it. You know, the repeat viewing. I see what you're saying too. I mean, and that's absolutely correct. I think Star Wars is a little bit more unique though, in the sense that it is going to have a large audience of repeat viewers. And I think that's going to be diminished now when people know that, hey, you know, a few more weeks, get it on DVD, that's different from saying, okay, well, you know, Christmas time, it's going to be on DVD, but I want more of it right now.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they come out so quickly that you are, I think you are getting a lot of that. You are getting a lot of the people that would have gone to see it a second and third time. Although, you know, I'm also wondering how many people are seeing movies multiple times given the ticket prices nowadays, too.
Yeah.
You know, even just a couple of years ago, tickets were under $10 a movie. And yeah, I'd go see a movie twice or three times if it was something that was entertaining of a franchise I really wanted to see. But now it's like, well, you know, $13, $14, $16 a movie. It's like, well, that's quite a bit more than it used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Do I need to see it a second time or a third time? You know, see, even when I went to see Deadpool with my wife, it was my second viewing of that. She's like, well, was this movie you want to see again? I'm like, well, yeah, it was really good. Yeah. I'll definitely see it again. And the first time I saw it, I only saw it in the morning for $6. So,
yeah,
you know, to me, I'm like, well, I can, you know, I can afford to see the second time when the first viewing was only $6 for the early bird special.
Yeah.
But yeah, that plays into it too. I mean, the fact they come out so quickly on DVD or on cable, and the fact that they're so expensive these days. I mean, you know, what does it cost you for two movie tickets and food at the theater? It's like $40.
Yeah.
Or more. Unless you sneak in your own food.
Not that I would ever do that.
No, never. Yeah. Right. Speaking of going to the theaters, the Ghostbusters trailer has been released.
Yeah.
The 2016 Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see that?
I did. Now, this is the one by Kevin Feige.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know how to pronounce the director's name, but good.
I think the emphasis is on the second vowel in the name, I think.
This is the all-female cast.
Yes. Yes, with Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig. Who else is in it?
Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, and I forget her name. Another new cast member from last year on Saturday Night Live. It's basically an SNL reunion.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Which is funny because a lot of SNL movies I don't like because they just don't. It's funny. They can write comedy for sitcom or for sketch comedy on their show. Fantastic.
Yeah.
They do a movie of the same characters and it's like, oh, there's been so many movies that I just think have not done well. In the theaters, and it's like, my God, I wish they wouldn't do that. You know, it's like they've killed these characters.
I'm so iffy on this one. So Kevin Feige, producer for pretty much all of the current Marvel films, the Marvel Studios films, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, Iron Man, etc. Also did Other Space on Yahoo Video.
Okay.
Of which I am a massive fan, and I'm very, very depressed that it's not coming back. But, yeah, so that, I mean, that's good. And Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, I mean, they're good. I think that they will do okay with it. And the trailer looked like it's okay, but I guess there are some things about it that, like, I get the reboot thing. It's 30 years later. Apparently it happens in the same universe as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an interview earlier today where he was saying he was explaining why he wants to do this as a reboot instead of Ghostbusters 3, like a continuation. He says that he doesn't want the new characters to just have the technology handed to them. He wants them to become the Ghostbusters. He wants to see that develop and have them turn into these characters, not just have the costumes handed to them and the technology handed to them.
No, wait a minute.
And that makes sense. But
it's a reboot, but it's 30 years later in the same universe.
It's...
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's not rebooting the story. It's rebooting the franchise. So it's not really...
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a remake.
Okay.
But it is a reboot.
That is still confusing, but okay.
Yeah, I know. They need to stop redoing things and just stop with the re.
Well, I'm looking through the rest of the cast here, and it looks like the other character, the fourth member of the Ghostbusters is Leslie Jones, another SNL current actor right now. But Cecily Strong, another SNL person's in here. I do see Bill Murray listed. I do see Dan Aykroyd listed. So it looks like they're reprising roles from their original.
Yeah, the rumor is we're going to have cameos.
Yep, Sigourney Weaver's in it too. So it could be. I mean, it looks like from the trailer, it looks like it's got the right stuff going on. I think it feels very Ghostbuster-ish. When I first saw who the four were going to be, I was like, oh God, it's SNL cast. It's going to be poor. It's going to be bad, and I'm not going to like it. But they seem to pull it off pretty well as far as their comedy interactions, because the first one had, you know, some very funny guys doing, you know, same kind of comedy together. I have some hope for this now.
I think it's going to work out well. There was one part in the trailer that bugged me, and I can't quite get over it.
What part's that?
The car. And here's why. If they're approaching it this way, and they're having these characters become these roles, the characters are becoming their own Ghostbusters, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about introducing the car, it kind of feels like, okay, you just happen to have someone else join the group, and they just happen to have a hearse, and you just happen to be the new Ghostbusters, and like it would have made more sense to me to have them be, okay, well, you know, we've decided to be the new Ghostbusters, and hey, you know, a hearse, just like what they had 30 years ago. Yeah, let's take it. Like it feels like you're trying to sell me on the fact that this is a coincidence.
Mm. Well, it wasn't a hearse in the first movie, was it? Wasn't
yeah.
it a
No,
ambulance?
It was a hearse.
I thought it was an ambulance.
I'm pretty certain it was a hearse, and they put the ambulance lights on the top.
Okay, I thought it was an ambulance that they converted into a Ghostbusters vehicle with the lights on the top. I could be wrong. You know who we need? We need Nate. Nate's a big Ghostbusters fan.
Yes, Nate from the Sabacc table.
Nate would definitely.
I'm pretty confident that it's a hearse.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you don't have an ambulance that's like a really long station wagon.
They used to.
Did they?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think it's an ambulance.
Okay. I think you're wrong, but okay. Anyway.
I could be.
But the point is, I think it's going to work. It's such a gamble. But it's in good hands. So, and the trailer does look like it's going to be pretty good. I'll give it that.
It really does, yeah.
We'll see.
Oh. So, now when you're not getting content in the theaters, you're getting it at home, per se, right?
Uh-huh.
We all have cable. Well, not all, but some people cut the cord. Those lucky people that don't pay the huge cable bill that I pay.
I'm still waiting to cut the cord.
I would love to. I haven't convinced my wife we can do it, though.
Yeah.
But now this is another maybe cable cutting scenario.
Yeah.
AT&T is going to let you get cable without cable.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure how that works, but, AT&T is owned by DirecTV, or is it the other way around now?
AT&T owns DirecTV. They purchased DirecTV. I think it was last year.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you see if you have, DirecTV service, they'll give you unlimited data on your AT&T phone.
Yes. You can sign up for a plan that will let you do that. Yes.
Yeah. I've done that for a while now. But now AT&T is looking to offer some content to you if you don't have an annual contract, satellite dish or set-top box,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. The company says you'll be able to buy the service even if you don't have AT&T as your internet or a cell phone provider, or even AT&T-owned DirecTV isn't in your area. Okay. So basically, if you live out in the middle of nowhere, you can get this, I guess. But or if you live where you can get it, you can get it. I don't know. This just seems awful cumbersome. Have you read into this at all?
A little bit, yeah. Actually, I think this is going to work. So basically what it is, if you have internet, you can sign up for, I mean, the bottom line is if you have internet already, you can sign up for DirecTV, and instead of getting it over satellite, get it through the internet. And that will include to your mobile devices.
Okay.
So in theory, this will let you stream. I mean, so here's the thing. If you're cutting the cable, we're not talking about cable internet. We're talking about the cable television service. Mm-hmm. Presumably you still have internet somewhere and you're using services like Netflix and Hulu and things like that. So this would let you sign up for a DirecTV subscription through the internet that
so you wouldn't need your a dish. You would have to worry about, you know, line of sight to the satellite and or weather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So
it's
now
give you the whole.
That's
the whole
the
shooting match.
We don't know. We don't know anything about the offerings, the packages and such. They were, you know, they gave the typical press release about, you know, offering people the selections that they really want and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, typical, you know, PR wording of things. They haven't really said anything specific about what kinds of packages are going to be made available. Nothing about whether or not it's going to have the primary networks, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC and Fox. Nothing about the details yet, but if it is as it looks, this could be groundbreaking for people who want to cut the cable. I mean, the cord cutters, this really could be, what pushes things over that hump that we've been waiting for all these years.
Mm-hmm. So now DirecTV services, they give you local networks?
They do, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had DirecTV in the past. And in fact, I'm tempted to switch back over to it. I like Comcast for my internet. But, man, the cable, I'm just not that impressed. I kind of miss having DirecTV, honestly.
Okay. Well, I guess the big question is going to be, okay, so you still got to pay for your cable access. And if you don't have AT&T's cable internet access. If you don't have DirecTV's or AT&T service, I should say, you've got to pay for that through somebody like Comcast. And if you don't bundle that, they're going to charge you probably a premium for the internet service. And then if you get DirecTV service through that, I'm sure the fees may be quite high for that as well, because you're not bundling it with anything else.
I don't know. If they go that route and try to bundle it in with AT&T and everything else too far, they're going to push their entire demographic right out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have to be careful how they present this to the consumers as a package. If they make it too exclusive and too much where it's like, well, you in order to get this, you have to have AT&T as your mobile service and then also this and also that. If they go too far in that direction, they're not going to end up with any customers.
Right.
So they do have to be careful.
Mm. I'm just curious as to how this is going to play out dollar-wise, because it seems to me like there's really no way around the prices we're paying, whether you, you know, because a lot of these companies are bundling everything together, obviously. So,
right.
You know, if you don't bundle it, they're going to charge you more. And if you get this service from one company and service from another company, and you're stuck. It's like, oh, man.
Well, that's really the big deal with the internet. Like right now, I'm worried about switching over to DirecTV because my internet and cable TV are bundled. And, you know, if I unbundle them, I'm going to be paying through the nose for the internet, presumably. Now, I have not actually gone and looked this up. But when we're talking about cord cutters, they have internet anyway. I mean, so your point is completely valid. And people do need to look at the costs here. But we're talking about people who are already paying that cost for the internet portion of it anyway. So it's not like it's any additional cost beyond what they're already doing other than for the actual DirecTV, DirecTV Now service.
Okay. I mean, cord cutters in general, before they cut the cord, they're paying for cable.
Right.
And they're paying for internet.
Right.
So they're all in the same boat, whether they go this route or just go, you know, high def antenna to pull in over the air high def for local stuff and then pay a la carte for, you know, Hulu or services through iTunes where you buy a series. This is really no different. It's one, you're giving up something and you're buying something else to replace it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So yeah. for the people who are considering cutting the cable, you know, yeah, is this really any better than what you're already doing? It's really going to come down to the prices. I mean, for the people who are already cutting, who have already cut the cord, I think this is going to be a big deal. For the people who are considering, yeah, I mean, if I'm not going to get some kind of benefit, then why would I do this? I would either need to get a better selection of channels for the same amount of money, or I would need to be saving money. When I say a better selection of channels, too, that doesn't necessarily mean more channels. It means channels that are more relevant to me.
Right, right, yeah, stuff that you want to watch. And I guess when you come right down to it, this really wouldn't be cord cutting, because cord cutting to me is I'm giving up my cable provider, whether it's DirecTV, you know, satellite, or, you know, physical cable coming into my house for right. doing something else, like using Hulu for TV shows and, you know, buying the series I want to see on iTunes or something like that.
Right.
Where this would be replacing your cable with DirecTV. Whether you have a dish in the house or you pull it in through your internet, it's the same thing, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So it's not really cord cutting. But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what this comes about, how this really takes place and what kind of dollars we're looking at.
Yeah, that's really going to be what it boils down to, is it's what's the cost. What's the cost and what's being offered?
Exactly.
But either way, I mean, it's pushing over that ledge where people are able to get television content without having to have a cable box and mm-hmm. be tied to a particular location anymore. I mean, the idea is if you were traveling and you had your laptop and you plugged into the Wi-Fi in a hotel room, of course, Wi-Fi in hotels generally suck, but you know, if I went back home and visited my mom for Christmas or something and I had my laptop with me, in theory, I'd be able to log into her Wi-Fi and then watch whatever I wanted to watch from my subscription on my computer. So it is a little bit more freeing, and it definitely crosses over that transition of the traditional terrestrial television boundary. So it's mm-hmm. groundbreaking in that sense.
Yeah, I didn't think about the whole traveling and taking your internet, you know, log on with you.
Right.
That to me is very intriguing, actually.
Yeah.
And if they do some sort of a cloud-based DVR, stuff that you save, right. you can watch there, that'd be great,
or
too.
Or any sort of on-demand or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. hey, you can take your lunch break at work and watch television on your phone now. I mean, you could kind of do that sort of thing with Hulu or Netflix, but you can watch your actual, you know, what you think of as your television subscription. And yeah, if they offer on-demand or like a cloud-based DVR sort of thing, you can now watch whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want.
Right. Well, very interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that one as we go forward here.
Yeah.
Now, this just in, I went to the source. I went to Nate, and I hit him up on Slack to see if I could figure out what this vehicle was.
Okay.
And of course, you know,
Nate is a Ghostbusters aficionado.
He is. So I asked him, I said, hey, what was the original Ghostbusters vehicle based on? And his response, a 1959 Cadillac Meteor. I'm like, okay, so he knows exactly what it was. So he's the right guy to talk to.
So is it a hearse or an ambulance?
Well, that's what I said. So was it an ambulance? He says it was a hearse / ambulance. I'm like,
oh,
okay, this doesn't help me. I'm like, okay, but in the movie, it was based on ambulance,
and he's
right?
not even listening live. So it's like,
I know. But then I said, so in the movie, it was based on ambulance, right? He says, yes, it was.
No, they added the light bar on the top.
No, it was an ambulance that they turned into the Ghostbusters vehicle. It was white. It was the same kind of a station wagon-esque old ambulance. I told you. See, I had that right.
All right.
But I just like the fact that I asked him what it was. He said, oh, it was a 1959 Cadillac Meteor. I'm like, of course,
well,
it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what was it based on? I don't need to know the, you know, do you know the VIN number?
A question.
Well, see, maybe he knows the VIN number.
I thought Ray actually refers to it as a hearse in the film when he introduces the car to the other Ghostbusters.
I don't think so. No, I'm pretty sure not. I mean, well, Nate, I don't think Nate's wrong. Nate's got to have this down,
Like, I'm not fully convinced I'm wrong, but I will concede the fact that if Nate says it's true, it's true.
Well, time to watch Ghostbusters again, so.
Yeah, darn, that's just horrible.
I know, I have to do it.
I hate to do that. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see here. This is interesting. Luc Besson.
Yes.
Is bringing a new sci-fi TV series to TNT called Artificial Intelligence.
Nice.
I haven't heard anything about this, but this looks really, really interesting. I mean, I like Luc Besson. He's mm-hmm. done some incredible stuff I've seen over the years. I mean, he's behind The Professional. He's
yep.
behind Fifth Element. Mm-hmm. Didn't he do a Joan of Arc movie too?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, that was his. Yep. Mm-hmm. So he's got some great stuff out there. Now, does he write as well as direct?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot with that, aren't you?
Of course. It's my job.
Oh, God. I don't know, honestly. I think he does, yes.
Okay, well, let's see here. In our show notes, oh, well, this accent right here actually says, the show will be penned by Luc Besson and Bill Wheeler, who together will co-create and executive produce a series. So evidently he is writing this, which is nice.
I think he's written some of the other movies you just mentioned, though. Like, that's what I was trying to think of. Has he written other things? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think he wrote The Professional.
Yeah.
Or Leon, as the original was called. The other version was called, I guess. Yeah. Let's see here. Artificial intelligence marks the first time Besson has written a television series for the U.S. market. He's also considering directing the pilot as well. That would be very awesome, mm-hmm. Which would be another first for him as well. So that's kind of cool. It'd be his first time writing and directing a TV show. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
In the series, artificial intelligence escapes its laboratory confinement and begins a methodical quest to carry out its mysterious plans. The creator of the AI assembles a team of specialists to discern its objective and simultaneously working to counter its rapid maneuvers and warn the world of its imminent dangers. First of all, I don't see how you get a team of people that can be fast enough to combat the AI. I don't know. This could be fun. But.
It depends. I mean, how does the AI... that's from comingsoon.net, by the way, the little blurb that we just read there. It's going to depend on how it's implemented. I mean, is this going to be in some sort of a robot or Android, and maybe the AI system is localized, and maybe it can access the internet, but it can't do the whole, you know, distributed neural network sort of thing where it's, you know, everywhere at once. There are a lot of different ways it could be played. And in fact, it worries me a little in the sense that we're kind of already, I mean, we've seen things like this before. There are aspects of it that are kind of like, the movie Species from years ago, though that was more of an alien sort of thing. I'm not caught up with Person of Interest, but I get the impression that there are similarities there. The AI leaking out into the world sort of scenario, it's not, mm-hmm. This is not a unique idea, and it's not the first time this idea has been presented. So we're going to have to make sure, when I say we, I mean him, he's going to have to make sure that he presents this in a way that doesn't seem like it's rehashing something else, and that it's a fresh perspective on things.
Oh, exactly, because, you know, this goes all the way back to probably the 80s.
Yeah.
With things like Lawnmower Man and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you write this to get the story to be sinister enough and feel threatening enough, but not have it be so powerful that you lose control of it and it's already more powerful than you could possibly imagine? I mean, you know, typically artificial intelligence things have been kind of staged as, well, it, you know, it takes us a second to think about something and the computer's already made that decision, you know, 18 million times over. So right. How do you really combat against that? So hopefully there'll be something with this one where it's getting out slowly, maybe, or it's, you know, finding its way into different systems as it can. If it takes time, maybe, I don't know. This is going to be interesting to see. It's a good concept, and I think it's very timely, I guess, with what mm-hmm. things are going on today. I mean, I think we're closer to artificial intelligence than we've ever been before.
Yeah.
So if they can, you know, do this as a thriller and scare us enough, that'll be kind of cool and fun to watch.
I tell you, the fact that Luc Besson is attached to it and is leading it, along with Bill Wheeler, who I'm not as familiar with, that gives me a lot of confidence. I would be a little bit more worried about this if it weren't him working on this project. I feel like he's proven himself in the past. I think that if you're going to take a project like this and put a fresh spin on it, he is definitely a good guy to have do that. So that instills a lot of confidence in me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely got some creds behind him that makes him, you know, something I want to see.
And he's good at taking weird, I mean, if you look at The Fifth Element, he's good at taking weird concepts and making them interesting and compelling.
Yeah, definitely. And that was a very fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
Was that based on anything, or was that his own?
I think that was his own thing. I don't think that was adapted from anything. So, and then yet, if you look on the flip side, if you look at something like Leon, he's really good at the character stories too. I mean, you've got three characters in that film, the two protagonists and the antagonist played by Gary Oldman.
Mm.
And that was it. I mean, you had to basically rely on those three characters and those three actors.
Yeah, and one of them was, what, 9 years old?
12.
12? Was she, I think she was 9.
I think she was 12 when it was filmed. Okay. Of course, now you're going to look it up, and then now I'm going to be wrong again.
I'm not going to look it up this time.
I'm pretty certain. I'm pretty certain Natalie Portman is 12.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but so he's got both sides of things. I mean, he can tell the big sweeping epic sci-fi, weird sci-fi, space opera story, and yet he can also do the character drama that's just focused on a handful of people. So, yeah. Again, I've got a lot of confidence in this one, mainly because of him. So we'll see.
And you're right. She was 12. Yes.
I don't mess with me when it comes to Natalie Portman trivia.
I wanted to be wrong again, but I'll give you that one.
Okay.
Okay. So now this next one I am kind of nervous about. We said we're not nervous about Luc Besson doing an artificial intelligence TV show, but I am worried about this next one. You're familiar with the Dark Tower series from Stephen King?
I've read the first two books and had the last one spoiled for me.
Okay. I have not read them all. I've only read the first four, I think. So don't spoil it for me. But so they've announced some stars for the movie that's, I guess, closer than ever to being made. I'm not sure if they have a script or anything yet, but they've announced
that. I have no idea where they are in this now.
It's been passed around from like three or four different studios.
Yeah.
And it's been talked about for probably the last 10 years. And it just never seems to go anywhere. It's such a hard movie to make. There's so many things going on and there's some very bizarre imagery. So, it's.
They need Luc Besson to do this.
Yeah, he'd probably do pretty well with this. But,
yeah.
So we have, now I'm going to butcher the names, at least the first one. Idris Elba, is that how you pronounce his name? Okay. Mm-hmm. Him and Matthew McConaughey are the two stars. Elba's going to be Roland, the gunslinger character, and Matthew McConaughey will be the man in black, the one he's chasing through the desert, at least in the first book he is. I don't picture those two as the characters. Do you? I mean, how do you feel about those two guys cast as those two roles?
McConaughey, I can kind of see that, but from what I've gotten from the book so far, like, I didn't have a lot of exposure to the man in black character that much.
He really wasn't in the first book too much, was he?
Yeah, not really. Did I read the third book? I know I've at least done the first two books, and I think maybe I tried starting the third and got partway through it and gave up. Mm. I can kind of see him as the man in black. Idris Elba, I'd have to look it up. Mr. Elba as the gunslinger. I mean, he is a phenomenally talented actor.
Oh, yeah.
I think he can pull it off well, but when it comes to like the way I envision characters in my mind, we talked about this in our first episode of The Crash Couch, which we'll be releasing soon. The characters I had in my mind for The Expanse, like it didn't fit. And it took a few episodes for me to really get into those actors as those characters. And now they fit perfectly for me. So it could be that sort of thing with Roland here. I don't really know. Like, I guess I see Idris Elba and I think someone who's a little more buff, a little like, you know, you wouldn't want to mess with this guy. And mm-hmm. I always saw Roland the Gunslinger as more of a, I don't want to say frail, but more of a, like a
older,
battle weary. Kind
of but on the, like the downside of his gunslinging days, you know, he's not like at the top of his game anymore.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I see Elba more like he is on the top of his game.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So, that's really you hit it. That's exactly it. I imagine Roland who's like at the end of his game and I don't see Elba being at the end of anything.
Right. So,
but I mean, he's a good enough actor. I think he can pull it off.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure it will work. That. I'm sure it will work, but I'm with you. Like I don't, it doesn't just inherently come to me as, oh yeah, hey, perfect casting.
Yeah, right. So, and also, I mean, I guess he could pull off a cowboy-esque type character. That's what I think of when I think of Roland.
Right.
And I guess he can pull it off. I'm sure he can as an actor. It's just, it's not what I was picturing. IMDb still shows this is in pre-production, which means nothing.
Yeah.
It says 2017 for a date, though.
What?
Yeah. On IMDb. That seems very...
That's next year.
Ambitious, if it's in pre-production.
Yeah, okay, well...
The notes on here at all. Storyline.
Wow.
No, this can't be right. This release date is January 13, 2017.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen at all.
Where is that, IMDb?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, forget that.
Yeah, no, it can't be right. No. So... But, you know, it's one of these things where I'd like to see it be made into a movie. I'm just worried that it seems like it's been talked about. Well, then again, they talk about Deadpool for a long time, too.
I have never in all of our years of podcasting together, Lou, I have never wanted to spoil something so badly.
What, the Dark Tower?
As I do the end of the Dark Tower.
No, don't.
I won't. Trust me, I won't.
I've got to go back to it. I've been doing the audiobooks, and
never has an ending of something both angered me so much.
Oh God, really?
And made me so happy that I dropped out of a series early on.
Well, I'm on book 4 or 5. I think I'm on book 5.
Out of how many?
I think there's 7 or 8, isn't there?
I have no idea. I know there's at least 6 or 7, and I think there's less than 10.
See, I've been doing the audiobooks, and I think we talked about this on one of the shows a while ago. I had to stop book 5 because the first 4 books had the same narrator.
Yeah, you were telling me.
And it was like, wow, I couldn't get into it. I could not get into that book because it was
another guy reading it with narrated the voices. First one.
What's that?
Didn't Stephen King narrate the first one?
No, I don't think so.
I could have sworn I had a copy of it when it first came out that was... Stephen King narrating it. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, but when you switch audiobook narrators partway through a series, it's disjointing.
Yeah, because I was so used to it, so used to the voices he used and everything else, and now it's like, oh God, these are all different.
Yeah,
I do want to go back and finish it because I do want to see how the series ends. And as some of the stuff from King, it's very verbose, it's very long.
Yeah,
but it kept me interested. So we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, after you finish it, I await your review. I will consider going back and reading it because perhaps the journey is so good that it will compensate for my opinion of the ending. But I have to say,
it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Right. Right? Well, with King, it has to be because he apparently doesn't know how to end the story very well. You know me and Stephen King endings. It's a mixed bag. I have a love-hate relationship. So, take my opinion with a grain of salt, but I was not impressed with what I heard of the very end of the Dark Tower series.
There's at least 7 books here on Audible, so.
Okay. Well, I'll watch the movies. The movies won't be as verbose as, as Stephen King. I don't know. I mean, it was kind of interesting stuff, though. I would consider going back to it, maybe. Anyway, we should probably move on. We're coming up on the hour mark here pretty quick.
Are we? Okay, so what have we got in our what were they thinking section this week?
Well, remember Kanye.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't, go back and listen to episode 36. So Kanye released his new album directly to Tidal. The subscription service. It was not releasing the album for sale anywhere. He was very proud of that. And so now he's all upset that his new album is being pirated and it's being streamed online, interestingly enough, at Pornhub. So, yeah, I guess it's really difficult to get copyrighted material taken down from there. So it's there, and people who want to listen to it can go there and stream it, and he's very upset because he doesn't think his album should be pirated because, of course, he is the greatest artist of all time, if I remember our last episode correctly.
I think so, yep.
I think that was pretty much a direct quote from him, greatest artist of all time, and that he needs the money so badly that you should invest in him as opposed to schools for children in Africa.
That's right, yeah.
Yes. So, don't pirate. Pirating is bad, and you're basically stealing money from Kanye.
Well, I mean, yeah, you should not pirate stuff. That's wrong. Yeah.
Right, right. Especially, you know, Kanye-related stuff. But he tweeted a photo of his computer screen where he was doing something, and I think he didn't realize that he left some tabs open on his web browser, and apparently the photo shows him pirating a $200 plugin for Logic Pro, an audio editing software.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Don't pirate, guys, because you're stealing from Kanye, but it's okay for him to do it.
Oh, that is hysterical.
Poor guy just can't catch a break, you know?
Oh, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it's so sad that the human anatomy only has 2 feet. Because if he had more feet to stuff in his mouth, I'm sure he'd do it. Yeah, oh, that's our weekly Kanye. What Were They Thinking?
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, should we do the lightning round?
Yeah.
All right. So I will blitz through the lightning round, and then at the end of it, if there's anything that catches your fancy, toss it out there, and we'll comment on it real quick. No Man's Land, which is a highly anticipated title for the PlayStation 4. It is a kind of a simulation game where there is a virtually unlimited number of worlds that people can inhabit and fly between and all kinds of things like that. It's an independent title. It's highly anticipated. Coming out June 21st for $60. A little bit controversial because independent games are normally much cheaper. Mm. But this one might survive at that price point. It looks phenomenal. EA, speaking of video games, is reported to have made almost $1 million in profits on DLC sales in 2015. That's downloadable content. That's the add-on for the video games. Not $1 million in net, but $1 million in profits. The Oscars were last Sunday. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Random Chatter. It hit an 8-year ratings low.
Ooh.
I don't know whether that was because of the controversy or despite the controversy or what, but yeah, it didn't do so well. What is doing really well, sadly, you remember the show Full House?
Yeah, back in the 90s, I think, with what, the two cute little girls there, the Olsen twins or whatever.
Yeah. It was released, the sequel, Fuller House, was released on Netflix recently, and it has been renewed for a second season.
Oh. I didn't know that was a thing.
So. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit in Random Chatter as well. Okay. And then finally, NCIS was released for 2 more seasons. So I guess this will be season 93 and 94. I don't know. It seems like it's been around for a really long time.
Yeah, and there's so many of those too, right? Isn't there NCIS New Orleans and NCIS... Yep.
Los Angeles. I like Los Angeles. I can't get into the New Orleans one. But
yeah, I've never gotten into any of those for some reason. I don't know why.
They're actually good. Listen, this is not my type of show at all whatsoever, but NCIS is actually really good. I enjoy it. I'm way behind. I think I'm like, I don't know, season 8 or something, but it is an incredibly well-written show. Really good characters. I highly recommend it, despite not ever recommending that style of show ever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And that's it for the lightning round.
Okay. So lightning round. I don't really have anything to ask anymore on that, really. I mean, No Man's Land sounds interesting. I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh, but yeah, you should totally read up on that.
I'll have to go look for that. Is there a video out there at all on that?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know much about videos that are out there. I know that there was a 30-minute playthrough thing that was available somewhere, but it might have just been for the press. I'm not sure. Okay. If it's out there. But you know, there are all kinds of articles. Game Informer had a really good article a few months back. I don't know if you subscribe to that or not. If so, you might be able to go back and get the digital copy of it. Mm-hmm. It is sometime if you and I are hanging out, I'll bring my iPad and let you read that that issue of it, that article.
Okay, cool.
It's worth going out of your way. Listen, it boils down to this. I'm going to get it, and unless it really sucks, within the first day or two, if you refuse to get it, I will probably buy you a copy and force you to play it. I'm telling you, this is either it's going to crash and burn, or it is going to be one of the most talked about games in a really long time.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to do some reading up on that. The only game I've been on my radar recently is the new game from Tom Clancy, The Division, coming out, I think, next week.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been keeping up with that much.
That looks pretty good.
First-person shooter, right?
Yeah, first-person shooter, open world, New York City. I think something about contagion, trying to limit the exposure or whatever. Mm. But it looks really good. I might pick that up next week when it comes out.
All right. If you do, let me know how it is.
Okay, definitely. So this week in the box office, once again, Deadpool, top of the list.
Yay!
Week 3.
How much?
$31 million.
Nice. That's a really good, solid opening weekend number for late February.
For most movies, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Week 3 movies. That's great. I mean, that's fantastic. It's up to $285 million. I know this week it did pass the, what was it, past Passion of the Christ for the number one R-rated movie.
Nice.
Domestically, I think.
I think internationally, isn't it past $600 million?
Probably. I think I saw one past 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great numbers. I mean, nice. Fox definitely is a winner with that one, so they're taking it all the way to the bank. Next we have a number one movie, or sorry, first week movie, Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this didn't really make its money back for the production, because I'm pretty sure it's probably higher than Deadpool. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it only made $14 million. In its opening weekend. So it made half of what Deadpool did in its third week.
Yeah. And from the looks of it, rightfully so. I mean, yeah, that movie really looks abysmal.
Kung Fu Panda 3 is hanging on there. Its fifth week, it made $8.9 million for Trollo 128. And then rounding out the top five are two more first week movies. Risen made $6.8 million and Triple Nine made $6.1 million. I think they were hoping for a lot more from Triple Nine.
I was going to say, I would have expected more from that. And it looks good. I think maybe
it does,
it just wasn't marketed very well.
Mm. I mean, I didn't hear about it until like a week ago. So
yeah,
it really wasn't out there on my radar. But So that's what we had for the top five.
All right. Well, new releases this week coming to theaters is Zootopia. And a little interesting tidbit, it's got 100% so far in Rotten Tomatoes. And normally when you see a movie with 100%, it's because there are like 3 reviews.
Right.
This is 100% out of 90 reviews, 90 professional reviews.
Oh, yeah, I saw this was getting talked about. It was like the best animated movie from Disney.
Yeah.
Ever. So.
Yeah, this is the critical acclaim for this one is off the charts. So this is one to keep on your radar. It's looking pretty good. Yeah, Zootopia this weekend. London Has Fallen is the big action movie for this weekend. 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. I saw the trailer. It looked, The Wave, a big disaster movie. I think it's a foreign movie, and I think it might even be either dubbed or subtitled.
Hmm.
But the trailer looks really good.
Okay,
to 79%
that one.
Yeah, it's definitely worth taking a look. And then Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, and I thought this was already out.
I thought it was out last week too.
Yeah, I thought it was out last week, but then I didn't see it on the box office results. I would have thought it would have gotten somewhere.
Maybe
in the top
this
five.
Week.
I don't know, because they were marketing it a couple of weeks ago, and Tina Fey was doing the rounds and the press and stuff.
Yeah, she was on all the nighttime shows this week.
Yeah. So. Well, maybe I just have my timing wrong, but Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is out this week. 59% on Rotten Tomatoes, which, again, for a comedy, especially like a war-based comedy, that's actually not too bad, about 60%. So it's almost a fresh rating. So take it for what you will. But it looks like this is going to be a pretty decent weekend at the box office. And sadly, I think Deadpool is going to drop a few slots.
So, yeah, I don't think it's going to maintain its number one spot this week.
No. In fact, I imagine it's going to drop to number 4. That's going to be my prediction.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, well, Zootopia is going to be number 1. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, number 2. Deadpool might be number three, but I'm going to hedge my bets and say four. So, DVD this week, The Danish Girl, which won some Academy Awards. The Night Before, I thought that was last week. Not sure. Yeah, I think it came out earlier this week. Creed came out this week. The Good Dinosaur, the Disney Pixar film that was apparently the weakest of any of the Pixar films, was not very well received. So Pixar's never really had a stinker until now. So,
yeah,
but that's good. Get the stinker out of the way and then go back to making good films again. You had to have a bad one eventually. It's happened. We'll move on. Anyway, that's what's out on DVD this week. Nothing of significance on television that I can think of. So that's it for new releases.
Okay. I think that's about it for the show then, too.
All right. Yeah. Send us an email. You can, you know, we've got some new contact information here because, of course, we are now on the Random Chatter Podcast Network. So you can contact us at outerrim@randomchatter.com. We would love to hear from you. And you can also email us at randomchatter@randomchatter.com. That's for the network-wide email address. But, yeah, shoot us an email. Let us know what you think.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And on Twitter, you can find the podcast itself is Outer Rim Podcast. And I am on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI. And Eric, where can they find you?
I am at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And you can find all of the shows on the Random Chatter Podcast Network at randomchatter.com, including the flagship Random Chatter show. Echo Base has moved over. The Sabacc table is moving over as well. And, of course, it's been the home for quite a while now for Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
And, of course, you know, leave us a review in iTunes. That does help us out. It helps people find the show, gets us moved up to the top there. Mm-hmm. You know, tell your friends about us. If you got friends that listen to the same stuff you are, they probably listen to us as well. So do us a favor and let them know, you know, a little bit of water cooler talk at the office would be good. You know, get our name out there. And, of course, you can also listen live. You can listen live at randomchatter.com/live. We do this show live on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. We do the Random Chatter show right after this. And on Tuesday nights, we also do a couple of our shows. We do Echo Base. And then probably whatever TV show, you know, episode we're doing at the time. Currently, we're probably starting to do our Crash Couch shows for the Expanse TV series. Mm-hmm. So I think that's about it for this week. Until next week, take care and... see you again soon.
The Force will be with you always.